Hi, I'm Sifu Henry Araneda. I'm the founder of the Ultimate Martial Arts Academy, and with over 20 years of teaching experience, I've become obsessed with helping people improve their Wing Chun knowledge and skill by teaching them how to approach their training efficiently and effectively. I've created the Wing Chun by Design podcast to give you step-by-step strategies to take your Wing Chun to the next level. So guys, let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome back to my show. So for today's episode, I would like to discuss Wing Chun fantasy. Okay, now with this, there are five key points that I'll be talking about. Number one being history. Okay, Wing Chun history. Number two being culture, specifically the Chinese culture. Number three, interpretation. Number four, application. Number five, evolution. Okay, let's dive straight into it. I've been teaching Wing Chun for decades now, and I have a real passion for teaching something that is effective, something that can impact someone's life in a positive way. Because whether, you know, there's a parent who brings their child into my school or an adult who's coming in, basically they want to learn real effective self-defense techniques. They want to increase their confidence. They want to learn how to handle themselves if ever the situation came up where they needed to protect themselves. So Wing Chun fantasy is a real thing. Now, in general, traditional martial arts fall into this kind of like category, the fantasy side of things. Now, what do I mean by that? See, I've had students of mine who used to train at another martial arts school, a kung fu school, many years ago. And when they came into my school, they were talking about how at that school, you know, the Sifu was selling these dim muck, like the Death Touch books and DVDs and these programs and pay extra and I'll teach you, you know, the 3-point here, here, there, and the person would just fall and all these, I guess, just nonsense and borderline scams. And you find that also in the Wing Chun community, unfortunately. I'm a big believer in keeping things real. You want to possess skill? Train hard. There's no secret. Train hard. Work on your basics. Work on the fundamentals. And that's how you're going to get to the advanced side of Wing Chun. And what is advanced? Advanced is just basics executed with proper timing, precision, speed, balance, explosiveness, and being able to react whenever you see the attack happening right then and there. So, history. The Wing Chun history, we've only got evidence dating back to Dr. Long Jun, the fourth generation Wing Chun master. Before him, it's only legend. So I won't dive into that. I'll just keep it short and sweet. So the history side of things, for the most part, it was taught just by telling stories orally, okay? And it seems like every generation coming down, the student would kind of like add a little bit more to the previous generation. I guess that dives into, you know, point number two, the Chinese culture. It's very much a thing where, say, Sifu or Sigong has passed away, so you want to put him up on a pedestal because, you know, you respect your Sifu that much. And we see it happening nowadays. There are masters, Wing Chun masters, call it first generation Yip Man students who have passed away, and my goodness, their branch of Wing Chun have put them on a pedestal where, okay, one thing is really important to respect, you know, history, tradition, and all that. I'm all for it. But then, you know, bringing up these stories almost superhuman-like, I'm not a big fan of that. I like to keep things real. So when you're learning and you're following tradition, you're following a martial art that's very much based in the Chinese culture. And in the Chinese culture, especially when it comes to martial arts, in China / Hong Kong, you never question the Sifu. That's a rule of thumb. And that's why nowadays you see all these videos coming up where you'll see the master basically controlling the student just with a fingertip, you know, just one finger, and the student is flying all over the place. That is nonsense. And that, unfortunately, is giving Chinese martial arts a bad reputation. And it gets to that point because students will never question the Sifu, and especially if the Sifu has a big imagination and talks about all these fantastic fighting and challenges that he had when he was young, or his Sifu, he saw this, he saw that. And that's where, unfortunately, everything gets a little bit diluted and it goes into the realm of fantasy. So with this, in terms of not questioning the Sifu, I am trying to make it clear that asking questions is a good thing. Questioning the Sifu is a different thing. I'm not saying to question the Sifu, I'm saying ask Sifu questions. And I always encourage my students, before the lesson is over, are there any questions before we wrap up the lesson? That's basically what I'll say very often, because in a classroom where there's 25 or 30 students, I want everyone, to the best of their knowledge and ability, to go home thinking, I got it, or I understood, or at least I'm on the right path to getting the technique. I don't want students going home with doubts, because that's not a good thing. I want you all to learn and get the confidence, right? So that's what I'm saying in terms of, you know, asking questions. Don't question the Sifu, but do ask questions. Number three, interpretation. It goes back to that same thing that I just mentioned. When a teacher is teaching a class, let's say 10 students, and that teacher is sharing a story, okay, let's call it, you know, school, primary school or high school. And then the teacher will ask the students to write down a report, an essay, you know, with their own words and interpreting the story. You'll see that 10 students will interpret it differently because of their background, because of their intellect, because of how much they were paying attention to the story when it was being told. And that same thing happens with martial arts, with Wing Chun. So if a Sifu is teaching class, that given lesson was taught to X amount of students. But in that group of students, there were beginners, intermediate, and advanced students. How long have those students been training? How much will they be able to absorb what the Sifu was teaching? And then years down the line, pass that knowledge on to their own students if they decide to teach. So that's why Wing Chun nowadays has so many different interpretations. Some people brand it, right? Like traditional Wing Chun, practical Wing Chun, us, applied Wing Chun. When I've asked my Sifu back in the day, in your own words, what would you say applied Wing Chun is? And I remember, first thing he said, it's Yip Man Wing Chun, because it's the training methodologies and curriculum that I learned from the old man, he says, from Yip Man. So that is applied Wing Chun. Our interpretation is based on learning how to use Wing Chun in a real fighting situation. That's why it's called applied Wing Chun. So whatever you learn from your Sifu, that becomes your 100%. So if you teach the next person and that person only learns 70% from what you have to offer, then that 70% becomes that person's 100%. So already there, call it the knowledge or the curriculum has shrunk. And then that person teaches the next person and that person learns, say, 60%. But then suddenly they thought, you know what? I think I'm going to start teaching Wing Chun. Okay, so his 60% became his 100%. And then that's how, from generation to generation, the system starts to get diluted. And the worst thing that I see happening is when the Sifu, the teacher, the instructor, has no real knowledge, no real depth into the theory and the principles. So then, when the student asks questions, they don't have the answer, so they make something up. And that is wrong. That's why it's so important to always refer and go back to your teacher. That's why even to this day, I'm always going back to my CFO, because I want to make sure that what I'm teaching is up to standard, right? And every bit of knowledge that I possess still goes with, aligned with what he taught me and what my Sigong Yip Man taught him. Now, it doesn't mean that Wing Chun should not evolve. It should, but it has to evolve according to its principles and theories, because if not, that's when it turns into something else. So that comes into fourth point, which is the application. When you're being taught in a realm of fantasy, and unfortunately, I see it happen time and time again, because nowadays with social media, you can just, you know, log into YouTube or Instagram and you can see what people are practicing out there. It's unrealistic, and unfortunately, it's dangerous. Why? Because the student is getting a false sense of confidence. I've been practicing Wing Chun for 6-7 years. I've got a black sash, and I can really fight off 3 opponents because I do that all the time at my school. Really? When you say that, are you thinking that when someone attacks you and holds a punch up for 7 seconds for you to do all your different moves, and then the next person comes in and does something, that's reality? Unfortunately, that is dangerous, because that person will walk around thinking that they can take care of themselves. And if they ever need to fight, they'll get, you know, reality in an instant, and then they'll be in danger. So it's really important that when you're learning, you're able to apply the technique in a realistic way. Now, I'm not saying go all out. I'm just saying keep it controlled, but do work on the proper speed, timing, and distance for every technique. And then you'll see if the application of the movement you're being taught goes along with a sense of reality. And you want to pressure test the technique. Now, when I say pressure test, some people have the idea that pressure testing means, you know, one person coming at you with a shield and just bang, bang, and push and go and go. No, I'm not talking about that. Pressure testing means many different things according to the technique you're drilling. So let's say you're defending against straight punches. So pressure testing could be, I'm launching the straight punch at you, but I'm breaking the rhythm. So instead of going just bang, 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 I can break the rhythm. I can go bang, bang, and stop, and bang, and then go with the other hand and press in and not give you enough time, you know, to put the guard up, to set up your stance. Boom, I'm on you. I'm on you. And then maybe I'm holding back. I'm stepping away. And suddenly I go back at you. That is a way of pressure testing the technique. There you'll see if you're responding the way you think you should, or are you crumbling? And if you make a mistake, what do you do next? How do you recover from that mistake? Okay, so application, very important. And then evolution. The evolution is a must. I asked my CFO one time, should Wing Chun evolve? And he said, absolutely. As long as it evolves with the principles, the theory, and the guidelines, because then it stays true to its nature and it still is Wing Chun. Okay, the moment you start to deviate from the principles and theory, then that is when Wing Chun becomes something else. Now, I'm not saying that is a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. If you want to do that, do that. But just don't call it Wing Chun. Call it your own brand of martial arts, right? If you want to do Wing Chun, then that's the way to go about it. Now, if you have a real understanding of the system, this is a very effective and complete system, as long as you have learned everything. I mean, let's talk about kicks for a second. Wing Chun has 8 kicks, right? 8 different energies, 8 different ways of kicking. Most people, at the most, work on 3. Either they never learnt all 8, I mean, I'm not talking specifically about them, but their Sifu or their Sigong. And you can find it online where big name Sifus have said, oh no, my Sifu, when he was learning from Yip Man, he only learned 4, but then he, in his own experience, he realized that you only need 3. And that's how it starts to, you know, get lost in translation or one generation from another. There are 8. And each kick serves its own purpose. Our kicks are meant to really break, right? So they're not there for fancy movements to just, you know, kind of like distract and tap. No, if you do it properly, you're meant to stop the threat immediately. And if you're going to kick, you're going to kick with full power, full force, using your hips, your shoulders, and everything behind it, because this is real self-defense. One shot, one kill. You can't, you know, expose yourself with all these different tippy-tappy type of kicks, because it will never work. I mean, you always see these old Wing Chun photos where the master is holding an arm, a leg, and it's kind of like three moves in one. Very typical. And then people nowadays try to replicate that in an application. And it looks silly, because really, if someone's coming at you with a full force punch to your face, and you think you're just going to stand on one leg and straighten it, and that's going to stop the guy coming at you, you're wrong. You're mistaken. That will never happen. So things like that, you really need to take into consideration when practicing and trying to evolve a martial art. And by the way, with evolve it, I mean, you really need to know the ins and outs of the system before you can even think of, you know, changing it up or doing something a little bit different from the previous generation. Okay, so guys, that is what I have to say in regards to Wing Chun fantasy. I am a big advocate of keeping things real, because the moment you do that, you'll gain confidence, you'll learn real self-defense skills, and that is what Wing Chun is all about. It's a fighting system. So guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you share it with a friend if you know that they're interested or they practice Wing Chun. And that's it for today, guys. I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.